This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
DC for you. DC for you. DC for you. DC for you.
Place to Be Nation Pop, welcome back to the only all DC Comics podcast right here on the Pop Network. That is DC for you. I am your host, Russell Sellers, and joining me, as always, is the manager, Todd Weber. How's it going, Todd?
Russell, I'm doing very well. I'm looking forward to another installment of DC for you, which is not technically called DC Universe for you, but it could be.
Yeah, it very well could be. And as you'll recall, like about a month ago or so, we had an episode of the show where we took a look at one of those, I guess we can refer to it as maybe a hidden gem on the DC Universe app, when we looked at Legends of the Superheroes. We looked at the first part of a two-part special, and we told the folks that eventually we'd come back to it and do the second part, which was labeled The Roast. So we decided not to keep the people waiting and just make good on a promise. So here we are, Legends of the Superheroes, The Roast. Now, this is billed as part two to that special. So if you guys haven't listened to that episode of the show, it was only a month ago. What are you doing? You probably have listened to it, but go back and check that one out before you go any further on this one, so you can kind of get an idea of what that was about. But Todd, what are the people in store for with this one?
Yeah, well, The Roast takes kind of the team that we saw in the challenge. No, the quest, the challenge. What was the name of the first half? I can't remember.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I believe it was the challenge, yes.
Yeah, takes that team, takes our headquarters, and then supposes we're going to do a roast with like a Friars Club roast that you'd see on Comedy Central, and not necessarily bring in guests to roast any one of the superheroes. It's kind of just like a whole bunch of random guests and their supervillains who we saw in part one, the challenge, talking about anything and everything. So I couldn't quite get the gist of it. I mean, they used the recurring theme of retired man, the Scarlet Cyclone. And so I thought it may, before I saw the show, well, it must be just a roast about him, right? It's just about the Scarlet Cyclone, but not at all. They just use him throughout, telling the same story, falling asleep as a transitional device. Very unique, like we said about the challenge. Late 70s humor, laugh tracks, not the best costumes, and some very unique performances, shall we say.
That's putting it kindly. Opening up with the Weather Wizards a little bit was pretty bad. I'll admit that if that's like, you know, how things are going to get started, you may have that feeling of, boy, this is going to be a long special. It's really not. It's only like maybe 30 to 40 minutes. But yeah, that was a bad bit of stand up from him. But we do get some really funny stuff in this one. Ed McMahon, being the MC for this whole debacle, is honestly pretty funny at times.
He's not hating himself here. It's not self-loathing. He's pretty good.
Yeah. He seems like he's having a good time. Like, he came here and said, I know what this is. I'm not taking this too seriously, but at the same time, I'm going to have fun. And they do make reference to his alleged alcoholism throughout the special. So there is the
possibility. Yeah, well, You have to imagine all of these people were drinking a lot back in these days.
Oh, and during this special, I'm sure.
Sure.
Because you have to be a little toasty to get through this roast.
You mentioned the weather wizard, and he, he shoots rain throughout, and he does a little Johnny Carson imitation, which I thought was kind of funny.
That's like the one bit of his that I liked. I thought the Johnny Carson impression was pretty good and pretty right on. Hey, kids today, they may not get that joke, but I bet their parents will. So, yeah, it's worth watching, and, maybe they'll get it. His impressions are dated, but still, like you said, that wasn't too bad. When it comes to like featured players throughout this, there are a couple of standouts, but I think I got to call out one in particular for doing a lot of heavy lifting, and that would be Adam West Girdle.
Yes, heavy lifting and supporting.
Yes, and the Emmy for Best Supporting Actor goes to Adam West Girdle.
So I was recently thinking about Batman 89. This may have been the last on-screen live-action appearance of someone as Batman before Michael Keaton.
Yeah, because this would have been 1978, and I don't think Adam West ever appeared on-screen as Batman again. And I don't recall anyone ever donning a cape and cowl at any point between. So, yeah, you're probably right that this was the final appearance of a live-action Batman for almost 10 years. What an interesting note to go out on.
Yeah. And he was still doing conventions and things like that. And there were also theme park Batman. So it's not like there weren't three-dimensional representations out there, but on screen, officially endorsed, DC licensed, this is how we're presenting our character. That was it. And again, Adam West with the not quite the same cowl. It doesn't fasten around the neck. It looks kind of thrift store. And
it's. All the costumes are pretty cringy throughout, although I'll give them credit on Hawkman's costume. They went that extra mile to make sure those wings were size accurate. And that dude is super jacked to the point where I think Adam West was probably ogling him just a little bit. And it's out of pure jealousy. But speaking of Hawkman, I think the MVP of this whole thing was Hawkman's mom.
Yeah, she was probably the best guest, the best actress performance. How about that on the show? And she seemed very familiar to me. And did you research her at all?
I did not. I was not sure who it was that was playing her, but her bit was was absolutely hilarious. One of
Hawkman's mom,
Esther Hull, as it were, because of course Hawkman is, or at least this version of Hawkman they're going with is the Silver Age take. So I'm guessing that's Katar Hull. Thanagarian take. And she is just, I don't know, what kind of accent would you describe her doing? It's got kind of a New York thing going on.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. Or Midwestern almost, but not. But she gets the doting mom. And I actually, before we recorded, I researched. She seems so familiar. And it turns out that's an actress I met at a Disney convention because Pat Carroll, who's the actress's name, she played Ursula in The Little Mermaid. And, she's pretty well known in the business, and I met her once at a commission. So, kind of a cool thing, and glad she was the cream of the crop in this. You would expect it just from her resume and reputation.
That's freaking cool, man! You are separated by one degree.
Yes,
to the roast.
Well, besides me being a retired man in real life,
and we almost called this episode "The Brave and Our Old." But we but we decided against it. That's the roast could actually be called that.
Yeah, the brave. Yeah, and there were some interesting guest stars too. We didn't see in the challenge, we didn't see the local regional superhero known as Ghetto Man.
Oh boy.
He was the other highlight for me.
Oh boy, 1970s. You've done
it. Very much so.
You've done it again.
Woo! Best part of me, the real talk was when he scanned the panel and he says, why don't I have any brothers up here?
Yeah, it was like, and the Green Lantern doesn't count as colored people.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the time. And ironically enough, Green Lantern would be the next character to be replaced by a minority character in, say, 82, 83, with John Stewart being a little bit more prominent. But I'm sure it had absolutely zero to do with Legends of the Superheroes special on NBC that not that many people saw the first time around.
No, definitely not. And I mean, there were bits of his comedy that I found funny, but then there were times where it was like, oh man, I'm not really sure who wrote this.
And funny in 78 versus funny in 2019, kind of a different thing. Although I appreciated, you know, his magic word.
So, oh God, Kareem.
Kareem. He would say Kareem, and then the special effect made him blow up and fly off the screen, which is great. And then there's a callback to that at the end of the show we'll talk about.
Yeah, a cringeworthy callback to it that just makes you fully facepalm, like, yep, this is tone deaf as hell. But I digress. Ghetto Man is, like, legit funny, but only in that way that you look back on it and say, oh man, 1970s, we couldn't do this today.
No,
you shouldn't have done Ghetto this Man, then.
Ghetto Man never made an appearance in DC Comics Presents or anything like that.
Nope, I think this is his one and only. Now, I think we called out Hawkman's mom is definitely the MVP. Ghetto Man was like, you know, this is definitely cringeworthy late 70s humor, but still, pretty funny for the most part. Which part of this just fell flat on its face for you?
I'm probably going to say, and I think you'll agree with me, they had a gossip columnist based on Rona Barrett, who was a Hollywood personality who would talk about the stars on TV shows. And I forget her name, Rhoda Rooter. That was it. Rhoda Rooter.
Yeah.
And she did a segment where she interviewed the Atom and Giganta, the superhero odd couple.
Who apparently met through a phone computer line, dating. A computer dating service, like online dating back in the late 70s. Apparently that was a thing, I guess?
Yeah. I don't know. I used to think... since you didn't have internet access, you probably went to a place that did a profile of you. You know, you had to physically go to a place or mail in a form, and they would match it up with somebody. That's what I'm thinking that meant by that.
Probably. But the cringiness of that just goes all the way whenever they start talking about, when Rhoda starts asking them, well, how are you going to have kids? He's really tiny and you're really gigantic. And he's like, hey, it won't be a problem. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, wow, my mind is going into some really, really bad places here.
Well, if you want to get really metatextual, do you know the actress who played Giganta was a transsexual?
It's true.
I read about that in Back Issue Magazine and kind of a groundbreaking individual, you know. Yeah. She transitioned and got acting roles, and you know that was a time where that wasn't happening all that often.
I mean, yeah, good on them for boldly casting for this roast. Something that you would not have expected. I did not expect that. Didn't even know that or figure on that by watching the special. Had no idea.
Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily have known that. So I didn't know that until I read about it too. It's very interesting, but interesting to see also the classic red and blue Atom costume, which we don't see in live action very often.
That's true. I credit where it's due on some of the costumes. The Atom costume was actually pretty right on. Hawkman's, as we said before, was really good, and I would say that Shazam was pretty good. Or Captain Marvel costume. I thought his was.
I wonder if that's a recycled costume from the TV show.
You know, it very well could be, because I don't think that they would have made anything specifically for this, because, or any of the ones they made specifically for this special, you could kind of tell were thrown together. Flash, Green Lantern.
Yeah, the villains.
Sinestro's costume. although I appreciated Sinestro's bit in this. It wasn't as good as some of his comedy stuff from the challenge, but I did like that they kind of repeated the bit where he takes a blast from Green Lantern's ring and flies like 20 feet backwards.
Yes. Yeah. He kind of appropriated the Henny Youngman classic Jewish comedian in this. And his material wasn't so good. But I did like that he used his power ring to give himself a drum roll each time.
Yeah. I was digging on that. I also thought that Dr. Savanna once again kind of like
again
steals the show a bit. His shtick is basically Robin Williams before Robin Williams was really popular.
You can tell heavy improvisation on that.
Very much so. And he's one of the few in the whole like thing that is just capable of rapid fire improv. And McMahon could keep up with him pretty well. I don't know that anybody else really had all that like, much capability of keeping pace with him, but he was real good, real funny. And even though like a couple of his bits are a little uncomfortable, like his coming on to Black Canary was a little like, that was interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Meet me back at the hotel room. Yeah. I make house calls. That's what he said.
Yeah. He's like, I make house calls. I'm like, oh boy, here we are. Again, that's a 1970s thing, kids. Then there's the Aunt Minerva segment.
Ruth Buzzi, actress from Laugh-In and Muppet Show, and did a lot of things. Kind of a weird, awkward. Very awkward thing.
Yes.
She's looking for a husband, and she claims she's going to have a husband from the panel.
And it just gets weirder and weirder as it goes. And like somehow she steals Captain Marvel's powers. And when she says Shazam, she turns into like supermodel actress or
total smoke show. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, and then all of a sudden everybody wants to be married to her. And she's like, eh, you know what? On second thought, nah.
So just a weird bit. It was weird, but it had a nice little payoff, I'd say.
I would too. Like it was a nice, like the ending was better than the build up to it. What'd you think about this off panel or this off screen totaling of the Batmobile and Robin playing charades with Batman to Brad? Oh.
Yeah, they had to give Burt Ward something to do,
I guess,
and Adam West, other than being kind of the leader, and it was not the finest bit of stage acting, live action acting. I don't think we got a whole lot out of that segment.
Nope, there was not much to that. That was probably like a real low point in the show where they were just desperate to fill time, even more so than the Scarlet Cyclone segments, which I'll admit are actually still kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Cause that guy still reminds me very much of the old man from The Wedding Singer. The I used to be much stronger guy.
Yeah. And, you know, I wish we had gotten something out of the Flash, but he just kind of phoned it in. It seemed
he was the one guy on the whole panel that just, it was like he had nothing. He wasn't committed in one way or the other to his bit. Although I did laugh at whoever wrote his, one line interaction with Weather Wizard. Cause if you remember, Weather Wizard runs down just like all these weather disasters that he's supposedly responsible for, where there were probably the deaths of hundreds of people. But it's not until he like causes a bunch of like wind and water to hit all the superheroes that Flash stands up and says, "You've gone too far this time."
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, mass murder, monsoons, no big deal.
I was like, this is too far. Okay. Okay, Flash.
Getting the Huntress wet, that's a problem.
Yeah, I was like, Flash, sit back down. But, you know, these roasts would not be complete without a big musical number. And this one has this one has one of the best I've ever seen. Because when Mordrew comes out and gives his take on That's Entertainment, that is indeed entertainment.
It was something. They rewrote the lyrics to fit a supervillain. And, you know, you could tell he was somebody who's probably done this on stage before. So it was not expected, and it was kind of funny, actually. Kind of actually entertaining.
It legit was. But hey, you want to talk about one of the better committed performances in this whole exercise, from the challenge through the roast? The guy playing Mordrew was just fantastic. I mean, he is fully committed to this shtick. He makes no bones about it, and he can actually sing. Like he was bringing it home. Like, this is one of the bad things, and they save it for last, which was absolutely brilliant. So if there were the number one things to look out for that we've already called out: Hawkman's mom, Ghetto Man, that just watch it for the cringiness of the Adam and Giganta segment. And of course the big finish with Mordrew. Oh, and I would say Dr. Savannah. Those are my absolute, you must watch it for this.
Yeah, it seems like they cast the heroes based on looks mostly.
Oh, yeah.
And then they cast the villains based on acting chops or character work, because most of the villains do a pretty good job with what they are given.
Well, sure, they're the ones doing all the heavy lifting throughout the entire special. I mean, the only heroes who really have anything like much to say are Batman and Robin, and then Shazam, or Captain Marvel, who I will give credit to. He's good at what he does.
Yeah, and handsome guy, great smile, fun interaction with Aunt Minerva.
Yeah, that's where he like showed a little bit of different, like, I guess, range, when he's down in tears because he doesn't want to be married. And the rest of them, though, it's kind of like you were saying, they were cast for their looks, and they're just kind of here. And Adam West and Burt Ward are mostly here. I think Adam West was like, yeah, I'm here just to do this, and I'll commit only as far as I absolutely have to. And I guess Burt Ward to me came across as he's real excited to be here because he isn't doing anything.
No. And you know, 30-something Robin is quite the spectacle. And yeah, he did commit a little bit or give a little bit more energy because he was able to have some material here, but Adam West kind of gives the minimum required effort.
And he's funny for what he is. But I would say that this is one of those, you won't find this anywhere else. Although there was a home video release of it back in 2010. But I doubt very much that you'd find it in print anywhere. But it is on, like, both parts on the DC Universe app. This is one of those, like, easy to gloss over, especially now because there's just so much content on the app now. This could easily get lost. But I would say don't sleep on this. I would recommend watching it. What would you say about it?
I'd say it's slightly better than the challenge, just because it knows what it is a little bit more. You kind of get the feel for what they were trying to do. I will say I think they had a limited budget, and all their Frank Gorshin money went to Ed McMahon. So imagine Gorshin doing something with this. Could have been even better, but you know, they had to pay Ed McMahon, I'm supposing. You couldn't have both Gorshin and McMahon, apparently.
I mean, that's probably true. And I mean, Riddler is missed. I will say that I do wish that he had appeared on this, but you're right. You can only afford so much. And it ain't no roast of Bob Saget, people, but it is still pretty funny.
I concur.
Now, which, speaking of roast, I know that I've watched plenty of them. I'm sure you watched plenty of them. What's your favorite roast of all time?
Oh, that's a great question. I do believe the Tyson roast, just because it was a little bit uncomfortable. I'll say that. Adam Carolla roast, I believe. And it's been a while, but I'm going to say the one that Jeffrey Ross, who is the best roaster,
yes,
said he was talking about Cloris Leachman, and he said, I have to be careful because my children are number. Cloris Leachman, I wouldn't fuck her with B. Arthur's dick. That was probably the funniest thing I've ever heard in a roast like that.
That's really good. I mean, some of the most offensive jokes are told in roasts, and that's really the one time that I feel like everybody is laughing at it because everyone is in on the joke.
Yep.
Yeah. And
but B. Arthur's face.
Oh,
he was on the panel.
Oh,
yeah. He said it was B. Arthur was there. He even sold both Cloris Leachman and B. Arthur.
The roast of Bob Saget is still my favorite one, mostly because there's a Norm MacDonald bit when he's telling like the lamest jokes possible. And the whole room is like practically silent or like kind of looking at each other. Like, are we supposed to laugh? And Bob Saget is the only one in the room just dying.
Yes.
He is falling off his chair because he understands exactly what Norm is doing by like roasting the roast format. Mm-hmm. And it is some of the best meta textual humor that I've ever seen.
I forget which roast it was, but Gilbert Gottfried always does well on these two.
Oh, God, yes.
And the one that happened after 9/11, Gottfried closed it, and it was kind of like we look at that as being – and we talked about it in the Aristocrats. We talked about it. It was spoken about in the Aristocrats movie where Gottfried told that joke, and it was like everybody exhaled, and it's okay to laugh now, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah. He's real good. And these roasts are just fun. It's like – they don't do them quite as much anymore. It's nice to get, you know, something like this that's from a bygone era. So big time hidden gem. I think we're both on board with recommending people go and check this one out. If you're just looking to, you know, switch up, grab some popcorn and laugh your ass off because this is good stuff. So
indeed.
With that brings another episode to a close. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at @Russell_Sellers. That's also my Instagram handle. Todd, where are they finding you?
At Guitars of Green, and join the Facebook Place to Be Nation comics page.
Absolutely. And with that, we will see you guys next time, and we'll read all sorts of really great DC comics between now and then. Hope you will too. So with that, for Todd Weber, I'm Russell Sellers. Have a good night.
DC for you.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceOfNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceOfNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceOfNation.com, the only place to be.
Place to be Nation Pop. Hey, it is retired man himself, the manager Todd Weber, here to tell you about the goings on PlaceToBeNation.com. Starting on Place to Be Nation Pop feed, hard traveling fanboys go off the page with a look at AMC's Preacher Season 2, Episode 1. Did it improve over Season 1? Do they think they'll actually get caught up on the show now? And did Greg actually read a whole comic book published in 2019? It says here he did, so go Greg. Russell and Todd, that's us. We talked about the classic issue Justice League of America 200 last week on DC4U. Check it out if you have not listened previously. How did this hold up today? Does Snapper Carr annoy them more than Rick Jones does on Marble Age? Oh, good Lord. Listen to find out. On the inaugural sports edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back, Andy Atherton is joined by the Cowboy, Roger Morissette, Scott Priscolo, and Peter Winson to look forward and preview the upcoming NFL season, as well as look back and analyze the most recent seasons of the NBA and the National Hockey League. Pop goes the movies, and the movies go pop when Andy and J. Arsenio D'Amato get together to discuss the latest major summer movie release, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, from Quentin Tarantino. On a new Sunday Groove, David and guest Andy Helene discuss their personal Desert Island discs. JT joins Andy to talk about Kevin Smith's Dogma in the latest episode of Laugh-In Theater. The Greatest Song in the 80s Tournament continues on Facebook. There are 6 polls a day posted every single day. You can get in on the action by searching PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament, liking the page. Every day, vote. It's fun. Be sure to weigh in. Over at the Place to Be Nation Pop, no. Over at the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, yes. SummerSlam 2019 is in the books. We've got 2 different reviews. Chain Reaction featuring Nate, Jenny, Scott, and Brent, as well as our monthly reaction show from Chris and Devin Hales. We talk about SummerSlam. They talk about SummerSlam. I hope you watched SummerSlam. It was pretty good. Talking WCW is back. Greg, Tim, and Jenny dissecting a trifecta of matches featuring Rey Mysterio Jr. In a new wrestling war zone. Talking about the Monday Night Wars, we've got Chad and JT looking into a memorable night of wrestling TV, examining the January 22nd, 1996 episodes of Raw and Nitro. On Main Event, Scott, Steve, and Nate talk SummerSlam. We're joined by Pete Schirmacher and Ben Zani to recap the SCI. Ben and Pete talked about SCI on Ben's show, Row 1, Seat 1. On episode 2 of Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, Johnny, and Jenny take a look at February 1994 as the night the line was crossed. And on episode number 7, actually I think that Extreme Three-Way Dance has to be updated. Anyway, check out that episode. If there's a new one, listen to that too. It's pretty good. And on episode number 7 of You Don't Know Billy Jack, not Haynes, but Billy Jack Horner, Drew introduces Jordan to Saruta versus Tenryu from June 5th, 1989. On PlaceToBeNation.com, PTBN's tribute to 1994 continues with lots of great content. We've got the Draft Wars crew with a batch of SummerSlam matches. You can draft your favorite. I voted for Jenny. Just saying. Every Wednesday, we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk Around the Web. Check out our social media pages and our message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation and start researching your list. Weba out.